Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Guys, I don't know if you heard about it. Key, I see that you're wearing your SC
yes.
jacket. That's
yeah,
right.
That would be correct, though.
Key was playing the fight song before yeah. the, just now. He played the whole thing through.
He was teaching me.
But you don't look right.
Well, because I haven't been to a game. You have to put me on.
No, you got, it's not even been to a game. You have to be invested. If you're not invested, you well, just won't look right.
Well, yeah, obviously yeah, I'm know, not invested.
But you know when he, you know.
It's a certain way.
Because you see, it's more the risk for you. It's the risk.
Why don't you have Dodgers gear on today?
Because I figured USC, we play Notre Dame tomorrow.
Because he took his clothes out in the first inning.
You must have set that up as a joke. It didn't work. Baseball is 9 innings. Yeah, we won. Dodgers won. So I figured we got a day off, travel, whole deal, and we might as well get ready for USC tomorrow.
I mean,
I'm already tailgating for Notre Dame.
The Dodgers. Water. The bottom line is, it doesn't Water. Matter how you get to, like, after 5 games, every series ever played is 3-2, one way or another. Here they are again, the Man. Dodgers. Here they are again.
Yo, how many home runs did we hit last night? 5. I think we had 5 jacks last night. Mm. It's crazy though, and I couldn't believe it though. It was one of those deals where we bombed them like they did us the other night. So. It was a good game. Now we move on. We're down 3-2. We got a lot of hope.
Chris Taylor won't stop hitting home runs.
Chris Taylor had 3 jacks last night. And I think he had 5 RBIs total. 6. Well, it went up 6. Mm. Thank you, Evan, for correcting my statistical membrane.
That last at bat, man. If he hit a shot in that last
But something at-bat. Told me he was going to hit the third one.
Uh-huh.
You know, something told me.
Something internally told you?
No, you could just tell. You could just tell. And if he'd have did 4, he'd have broke the playoff record. No other Major League Baseball players ever hit 4 home
he'd
runs.
He'd have tied the all-time game. Record for any game. No you one's know? Ever hit more than 4.
Yeah, he'd have tied it. But, I'm more so toward to bait the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was a situation in terms of pitching. Joe Kelly, he had to leave the game after 2 batters because I guess he had a little stiffness somewhere in his arm or something like that. But we've managed to win.
By the way, you had 3 games where you were
going.
Watching.
I had 3 games
going. You had
3
games going.
I had the Hawks going. No, yeah, I had the Hawks going first, and then Golden State came on after, and then obviously the football game, and then the Dodgers.
Well, speaking of the football game, Case Keenum was leading the Browns to a win on Thursday Night Football as the Dodgers were coming back in that series. This is – Jay, I love when Key does this. Like, there'll be a quarterback who's going to play, and he doesn't think they're going to have a crazy great game, but he'll start to do this thing with his feet. He'll have 199 yards, a touchdown, no pit. That's what it is. 199 yards and a touchdown.
That's all you need. Be serviceable.
Like I said, he'll be a 21-28 guy, a 210, a touchdown, and maybe some weird turnover that wasn't his fault.
That's exactly right.
Because that's the type of quarterback he is. That's the type of quarterback. You can win – like that if everybody else comes to the party.
Well, they win 17-14 without Baker Mayfield, without their 2 starting backs, but they did have a running back do his thing last night. Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, of course, at the post-game presser.
Case fought like he always does. I thought he orchestrated the operation. He took care of the football. And then that was a huge play at the end there, or not at the end, but in the end zone there on 4th down, and just to make a play, fighting for extra yardage. But he did a great job fighting.
Can the Browns win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum?
If the defense can get their – put it this way. They ain't winning the Super Bowl with that they beat Denver with.
Yeah.
That's not going to win you a Super Bowl. But if you get Hunt and Chubb and a healthy OBJ, you could tell OBJ was hampered a little bit last night. He dropped some easy balls that I'm sure he's frustrated about.
Conklin, like, you want to get your line back together.
Line back together, Landry, Clowney in the game, come to the party. Of course you could win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. Because you're not really Baker and Case Keenum are so closest to what they could do for this system in Kevin Stefanski. It's kind of the same thing if everything is added up together. And Case Keenum, because he's really trying to prove a point, he'll stick his neck out there and go for the extra yard, put himself in harm's way. That's the type of quarterback, what they call it, gutsy. He's a gutsy performer.
I don't believe they can win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. I think we're starting to undermine the value of the toughness mentally. And I know that there are some questions around Baker Mayfield and OBJ and that chemistry, and some of the passes have been off. But there is a bravado that Baker brings to the field. And I know Case Keenum is serviceable. I know they got a win last night. First off, big shout out to D. Ernest Johnson, who before he signed with the Browns was a fisherman in Florida. I mean, for 22 carries, 146 yards last night, one TD. Because he had a hell of a performance. Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, but why he saved the game.
But why you just tell me he had to be a fisherman prior to that? Because I was getting ready to crack a joke about his name, and you messed it all up.
Another Johnson who was.
No, just the name. D. Ernest. Like, D. Ernest. Which one? Like, we can mess up some names, man. I'm just telling
you. Stop.
D. Ernest.
Max, don't comment on that. Yeah. Anyway.
You'll get yourself in trouble.
Yes, you'll get yourself in trouble. We don't want you to get canceled.
I just said, if you change the E to B, it'd be.
Max,
no. Max, stop.
Nope. Everything doesn't need to be commented on. This one does not.
It's a different joke.
Leave it to me and Jay.
It's a different joke.
But I think.
It's a different joke.
I think they can, though, Jay. I think they can win a championship. And nobody's undermining the toughness of Baker Mayfield. They can win a championship with Baker Mayfield. I said it many times over. If you have everybody that the Browns entered the season with on the roster, you can win with a Case Keenum or a Baker Mayfield because they're going to do just enough and hopefully not enough to screw it up.
So you think the odds are the same with a full healthy roster, Case Keenum team as opposed to a Baker Mayfield team? That's what you're trying to tell me.
You gamble, right?
Yes.
So when the line moves, that means something drastic happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the line did
not
move.
Or more bettors are betting on the game.
The line never moved. When they knew Baker Mayfield was out and Case Keenum was in, nothing changed.
Yeah, this is, I mean, look.
I'm not a gambler, but
no, that's a valid point.
I heard Joe Fartenbaum on with us, and he said nothing moved.
What we find in recent Super Bowl history, last 5-6 years, whatever, special quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. Now, Nick Foles can pop his head out once in a while. Eli Manning could get hot, right, and do it, you know, 2011. You can have that kind of quarterback, but he's got to be solid and then real good when you need him to be. Big on third down, big on I think that Baker Mayfield is better than Case Keenum.
Yes.
Normally.
Yes.
But I would put them in the same basket of quarterback. I wouldn't say it's a different kind of quarterback. Baker's just an issue of degrees. He's a degree or two better than Case Keenum, but the same level.
Man, are you just talking about physically?
They do the same thing, man.
Physically? See, because I think you guys undermine the psychological aspect. Baker's tough as hell, man.
Well, this is why we're asking about Case Keenum.
That's fine, but tough as hell ain't going to win no Super Bowl for you.
But tough as hell goes a long way when you mentally have to jump over hurdles and battle through games.
Look, Stefanski's won as many playoff games with Keenum as he has with Baker. Before we get to any of that, let me just say why we're talking about Case Keenum, because I've neglected to mention this. It may be a minute before Baker comes back because he told Fox Sports he suffered a tuberosity fracture in his left shoulder in addition to the torn labrum. So it's the non-throwing shoulder, but it's preventing his rotator cuff from firing. Now, this is the quote. I need that fracture to heal for me to get back out there. Fractures don't normally heal in a week. He needs the fracture to heal to get back out there.
I don't even know what that injury is. I've never heard of it before, but it sounds painful. And if he's not able to go, then it's going to be painful. Look, Case Keenum didn't do enough to win the starting job at Baker Mayfield. It was healthy. It didn't. But he did enough for me to feel like he can hold things together like a Band-Aid into such time that Baker Mayfield gets healthy.
But there's another aspect to this, which is he didn't do enough to win the job, but he held it down and they got the win.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a nice long break before the next game.
Yeah.
The offensive line should get back. Some guys should get healthy. He's going to have at least another shot at this thing, Case Keenum.
It sounds that way based on the injury, but I don't know. Again, I'm not a licensed physician. So I really don't know what the extent of the injury is, right? We assume, based on Baker's report, that it's really bad for him and he's going to miss a few weeks. We don't know that, but it just feels that way.
Yeah, if he fractures. If he can't get back on the field till a fracture heals, it's going to be a minute. You would think. Week 7's underway in the NFL. We're asking at Key, Jay, and Max, who will pull off the biggest upset in Week 7?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Okay, guys, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Ben Simmons arrived and departed the 76ers practice facility today, yesterday, without taking part in the scheduled individual workouts. Simmons is expected to come early to the 76ers shoot-around today to discuss his playing status with organizational leadership, sources tell ESPN. The Sixers play the Nets on ESPN, and the team is still hopeful that Simmons will participate in shoot-around. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Daryl Morey on 97.5, The Fanatic.
This is a very good player. And to give ourselves the best chance to win the title, you need difference makers. You don't need role players. Right now, any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. That will give us no better chance to win the title if we were to move Ben Simmons for role players. So people should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time because our only path, my only job is to help us give the best chance to win the title. Ben Simmons is a difference maker, so if we can get him back, he will help us win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it. I think that's best for everyone in this situation.
Wow, what a toxic environment this is going to create. And what Daryl Morey just said was unnecessary bravado. I don't know why you would say that publicly. And let's call it what it is. When he said buckle in, this could be a long 4 years, that's a bluff. That's a bluff. You're not going to do this for 4 years. Joel Embiid is 27 years old. You're telling me you're going to make Joel Embiid go through 4 years of Ben Simmons going in and out on a team until he's 31? That's not going to happen. I just don't understand that in order to get this done. And look, I get it. As a business person, like, I'm going to make a hard stand. You don't have to do that publicly, Key. And now what it does is Ben Simmons is going to come back. From what I heard from my sources, Ben Simmons does want to play, but mentally he can't get over the hump of some of the things that have happened between him, Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and company. So he is mentally checked out. They have told them multiple times he is mentally checked out. So right now, this is a battle of egos, and the only person that can fix it, in my opinion, is Doc Rivers, because Doc Rivers is going to have to get to a point where he tells Daryl Morey, if it keeps festering and getting out of control, that I don't want to go through this. I can't go through this anymore. I know you think Ben Simmons coming back can enhance his value, but guys, from everything I've been hearing through camps I've been talking to, you're not going to get the Ben Simmons that you thought you were going to get from last year. You're not going to get a better version of that. That's not going to happen.
That's Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
No compromise.
No compromise.
Exactly.
No compromise. When you check out of something, you typically are gone. I've been there mentally before. I put my house on the market at the beginning of the season. Very similar to Ben Simmons putting his house on the market in Jersey. I put my house on the market at the beginning of the season in Tampa Bay. I was checked out. I was already done. Y'all got to move me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And I think Ben Simmons is at that point. I don't understand, like Jay said, I don't understand management stepping out, talking about it's going to be a long ride, buckle up, 4 years. I don't even know why you say that. Because you know and I know, at some point you have to move on from the distraction. And the distraction is part Ben Simmons and part the organization. Because they're continuing to create this environment where now all of a sudden – players have got to answer to the mess that you've now put out there when people put microphones in the front of their face. They've got to go to games thinking about Ben Simmons, opposed to trying to figure out it the best scenario and situation to get the value for Ben Simmons. Now, I understand, you don't want to move him for less than what you think the value is. But the longer that you keep stepping out there and getting in front of microphones and talking about what his value should be, the less value you're going to get
exactly.
back in return.
You just devalued him by saying publicly that you're only getting role players for him.
Yes.
Why would you do that? You don't do that. Yeah. You don't say anything at all.
You're not getting James Harden.
I want to make a distinction here for a second. I don't even think right now it's about not getting full value for Simmons. What Daryl Morey said is he needs a difference maker. So it may be a lesser player than Simmons, but it can't be an just an interchangeable part.
Well,
it
you
needs
said
to be something a little special.
But what's a little special?
So
what's a little special, Jay?
Yeah, that's a good question.
James Harden was
no, that's
special.
Very special.
Well, that was
that's
the one that they special. Went for, right? But yeah.
Why would the Nets give him up?
Unfortunately for Tim Fertitta, him and Daryl Morey, that relationship was a little bit soured with the way Daryl kind of left. And obviously Tim was like, I'm not going to give you James Harden. I'm going to make that trade with Brooklyn.
Right.
And I think that sends, because Daryl was very close to James. That was a relationship in which Ben Simmons was like, okay.
Train's left the station.
If that was a deal, he was down for that deal. He was down to make that one happen. It just didn't go through.
Here's a little special, right? Not just a role player, a Buddy Hield. They're shooters, but then there are guys who are shooters, and it's a little more than just getting, like, he's really, really good at that job, right? Someone who's not just an average starter, but an impact player in some way, even if it's not a superstar. CJ McCullough is always thrown out there, right? Someone.
CJ McCullough, Jay?
Well, that deal that was supposedly on the table, but I heard Portland kind of rejected that, but that was CJ McCullough and Robert Covington and potentially a draft pick, right? But there were opportunities earlier in the year to make a trade. Daryl Morey decided to say, you know what? Nah. I'm not getting the return on value I want.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of created
miscalculation.
This
does Golden State have anything, Jay, that they would take back?
I mean, unless Golden State was willing to give in, you know, James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins. But I don't think Golden State wants to do that. And my thing is,
no,
let me ask you though, Keith. Let me ask
who
you.
Has depth.
You're the GM of another team. I'm the GM of another team. I'm seeing all this happen. Why would I give you extra value? Why would I give you one of my difference makers? I know that eventually
you have to match salary.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Yeah. Like, I'm going to wait to see how this keeps panning out, because his value is only going to get worse for you if he's decided that he doesn't want to, that he's not going to go through this.
Maybe there's another option, by the way. I keep bringing this up. If you expand the deal, even if it's a three-team deal, and you go, okay, Simmons, we're not going to get but if we include Simmons and Maxey and Thybulle and a draft pick, can we actually get a player better than Simmons? So it's not just Simmons for someone else or for a package, but Simmons as part of a nice package for someone who's even better.
But those other teams have got to want what you're willing to offer up, because why would they water down their roster?
No doubt,
to take,
like,
the trash that you don't want.
Thybulle ain't trash.
You know, but I'm saying, depending on where they land and what teams, like, I'm not giving you what I like because you don't like what you got.
And here's another point that nobody's talking about. Say we go through this for a year. Key, you've been on teams where it's always something else other than what it is about football or basketball. You're telling me if you have to go through this for a year, and Joel Embiid is having to answer questions about Ben Simmons on and off, nonstop things.
They ain't going through this for no year. Well, that's right.
If you set that up that way, you're telling me Joel Embiid at the end of this is not going to look at management and say, what the hell are we doing? Like, whose team is this?
Meantime, guys, Tom Brady is just hoping he remembers how many downs there are this Sunday. I mean, this is the revenge game, right? Everyone thinks Brady's going to go ballistic on the Bears because of what happened last year. We'll hear from Brady.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Oh, Tom Brady and Justin Fields. The largest gap in age between two starting quarterbacks facing each other ever. Ever. By the way, this
like
is a big...
23 years old or something?
Brady is literally old enough to be his father, like a lot of these guys.
Jeez. Guys.
Brady's 44, guys.
No, Brady's 24.
Well... Maybe figuratively. He is literally 44 years old. It's also the first time he will ever face an Ohio State quarterback. Here is Tom Brady. We've got to get to the revenge. You know, Brady forgot the number of down it was, a whole thing. Last year, everyone thinks the Bucs are going to kill the Bears because of that. Brady's going to be on fire. Here's Brady talking about facing the first Ohio State quarterback in the NFL he's ever faced.
I'm not going to say anything too inflammatory about Ohio State, if that's what you're getting to do, but I'll have my time. Usually Ohio State, this is Michigan State week, so I can kind of, those are the guys that I can kind of go after. That's interesting. Why is there not a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks in the pros? There's a lot of Michigan guys over the years, but Not a lot of Ohio State guys.
I love it.
Oh, God. Craig Krenzel or whatever.
Craig Krenzel.
Krenzel.
Craig yeah, Krenzel. Krenzel. Tough as nails, that guy.
No need to take shots at us.
That was
no
an incredible win against Miami.
No need.
Yeah, where was this Brady effort? I guess this is the reason he wanted to kind of leave Foxborough, to be able to do stuff like this, because he didn't do this in Foxborough. He just would concentrate only on the Chicago Bears, and that was pretty much it. But it's good to see that he's having fun and he's enjoying his time in Tampa. And now this is what you're getting. You're getting the uncensored Tom Brady.
It's that reflection. I mean, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, obviously, but Bruce Arians is kind of built the same way. I mean, that they're going to say how they feel. It is what it is, and they're unapologetic with it.
But
I mean, that's the whole mantra of how this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team actually operates.
He does have a point, though, about the quarterbacks at Ohio State.
No, he's telling the truth. I mean, there's a reason he hasn't faced an Ohio State quarterback ever. How's that possible? He's been in the league over 20 years. Literally over 20 years. By the way, if you're an Ohio State alum, if you're at Ohio State now, there's something. What's so hilarious about it is the GOAT. It's like Superman's talking down at you. It's so good.
I haven't looked at his college record. Did he beat Ohio State at all when he was in college?
I have no
I wonder if he beat them at all when he was in college. Or did they lose to him or whatever? But whatever the case is, he still got 7 Super Bowl rings, too.
rings, and he's
taking
shots.
And this is a huge game for him and Tampa Bay Bucks based on what happened last year. And they had an opportunity to win the game in the end. They marched down to kick the field goal. It didn't happen. They ran out of time, ran out of downs, better yet, not time.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, Brady was waiting for that fifth down. He didn't get it. We all know how the Bucs can win this game,
how
right?
How can the Bears win the game, right?
How can the Bears win this game, possibly?
It's going to be a tough one, but it's not impossible. I think that when you look at – you're not going to be able to run the ball on them up the gut. I would try and figure out how to use Allen Robinson as much as you can in one-on-one situations to take advantage of the secondary. Richard Sherman's not there. Murphy Bunton's not there. So you've got either some young guys or inexperienced guys that are now in the lineup in the secondary, and you get the ball out quick. You do things on the perimeter and you go sideline to sideline in the pass game and get the ball out of Justin Fields' hands quick. And then you hope that Khalil Mack and that defensive side of the ball could have the type of game that they had a year ago.
You see, I think you have to – even though that defensive front seven is so dangerous, I think you have to establish somewhat of the run game with Khalil Herbert, right? You need to do that.
It'll never work, Jay.
I hear you, but then you become a very one-dimensional team. Now you're telling me Justin Fields needs to drop back, and he's solely going to rely upon his wide receivers, his weapons. You need to establish some kind of run game to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, what about that, Key? Just like, even if you're not picking up yards, but at least they have to account for it, so that might loosen it up.
You can run the ball and get hit at the line of scrimmage if you think that's going to loosen the defense up. Right. I'm not saying now don't do it. I'm just saying that wouldn't be the best game plan to go into a game with, is saying that we're going to try to run the ball on Vita Veda and Sue and those guys up front. It just doesn't work. You get on the perimeter and you get the ball out of Justin Fields' hands quick, and you don't allow those dudes to pin their ears back to go get him. And then what you do is the secondary is limited right now. You try to take advantage of the secondary with the best pass-catching threat that you have in Allen Robinson. That's what I would do.
Vita Vea. But it's almost like, I'm trying to remember from the comic books, was it Juggernaut or someone who like absorbed energy? Vita Vea just absorbs human beings, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, when you that big, you're going to absorb a whole lot just in human beings. You're going to eat up a lot of space. You're going to take two.
A lot of space.
Yeah, you're going to always take two. That's what they get paid to do.
The reality for the Bears, though, is that the offense can give you as much as they can, but your defense needs to create points, right? And that's what they've been able to do in games they've been able to win versus the Bengals, talk about versus the Raiders. Their defense has created points that helps the offense sustain in games like this.
So Tom Brady.
Which is going to be hard.
To add to it all, as I mentioned earlier, and Key was talking about, forgot the number of downs or ran out of downs. Everyone's assuming, oh, it's on because Tom Brady's going to take it out on him. Here is Tom Brady on forgetting the number of downs versus the Bears last year.
Seems like a long time ago, but actually it wasn't that long ago. So that hasn't happened very often in my career. For some reason, that happened at that moment. But yeah, that was a tough loss, and I think we learned a lot from that last year. There was a lot of self-inflicted issues. There was a lot of penalties. There was a lot of miscommunications. There was a lot of things that weren't clean. And then ultimately, we have a chance to win the game in 2 minutes by going down and kicking a field goal, and we don't get the job done. So penalties, not coming through in critical situations. I think something that we've come through in critical situations, we've cut down on the penalties. But, you know, you got to stress that and continue to stress that all the time.
It's good that he's admitting it now.
Yeah, he didn't admit it at the time.
Last year,
and Bruce Arians covered for him.
Yeah. Last year, Bruce Arians kind of covered for him. But, hey, man, I won a Super Bowl. I do what the hell I want to do. Leave me alone.
Yeah, and everybody knew it was last year, and that's fine. Like, everybody has brain farts here and there in games. Like, even the best of the best do it.
You know what I really liked about that, actually? The way that actually gave me insight into Brady and Arians, because Arians, I thought, pushed all the right buttons. Like, early on, he held Brady accountable, right? He made an example. I'm sure Brady, they probably have side conversation about that anyway. But in that game, before Brady was asked anything, Arians covered for him.
Had his back.
Now, so you know what Brady did? Brady then lied at the press conference because he knew Coach had already lied for him. And so now he's backing up Coach by not just admitting what happened.
I wouldn't call that it a lie.
Okay, whatever.
I would call it misinformation.
Right, yes. or not answering the question. But yeah, the point was that showed me, oh, these two are good. Because Coach knew when to hold him accountable, knew when to cover for him, and then Brady covered for Coach covering for him. Things were working there, obviously, even when they weren't working. Underneath, it seemed to me they were.
It's a good situation they got going in Tampa. Once they get those guys back on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary, that team is fine. O.J. Howard's there. They're not really missing Gronkowski. A.B. has a little bit of a boo-boo going on right now with his ankle because of the bad turf last week. But the Bucs are going to be a top four team in the conference regardless.
Exactly.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, brought to you by Indeed. Hiring for an open job should not morph into a full-time job. Indeed is a smart hiring platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and hire ASAP. Visit Indeed.com/credit. All right, let's bring in Dan Graziano into this conversation.
What's up, Dan?
Hi. I'm getting my earpiece, new earpiece, working it in, you know. It's a little peeling back the curtain.
Okay. Right. Dan, expectations for this game, Bucks, Bears?
I think the Bucks are going to destroy them.
That's a pretty good expectation.
That's a great breakdown.
I'd say it's a good
forecast. Well, we're doing hot takes. Key said that it's a good situation in Tampa. I thought that was a pretty bold.
He went out on a limb.
Yeah. So I figured I'd jump right in.
You know how it is, Dan. Yeah. You start talking about certain teams, it's like, well, what do you expect for them to do?
All right. I mean, like, the two franchises are not in similar situations.
No,
I mean, the Bears are breaking in a rookie quarterback. They score about 16 points a game. Tampa can sneeze 16 points. I mean, like, they just show up and they're 16. So, yeah, I don't think this is – I'd be shocked if it was a game.
It's hard to talk about teams that really don't have holes. Their holes is the secondary is banged up.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like,
well, how are the Bears going to take advantage of that?
Yeah, they don't have anybody except Allen.
You're going to have something weird happen, a funky turnover or something like that.
Yeah. Or just a monster game from the defense, you know, and keep it low scoring. Game like last night, you know, but no.
Quick question for you. The next four games for the Bears, at Bucks, 49ers, Steelers, Ravens, do you think that Matt Nagy is going to be in a position where things are going to be looking positive after those four games or more negative?
I mean, you look at those four, and I wouldn't expect them to be beating the Bucks or the Ravens. Okay. I mean, Steelers and 49ers have their issues. Like, we don't know what those teams are or what they're going to be when that. Mm-hmm. So, that you see, the Bears are in kind of that bucket with those kinds of teams. So those are the games where you find out. Do you emerge from that sort of 3-3 4-4 pack, and which direction do you go? And those are teams that are asking the same question. So I think you look at those two games, how do they do in those? And sure, if they surprise you and knock off the Bucks or the Ravens, then you think differently about them. But
I would give them more of a shot to knock off the Ravens than I would the Bucks.
Ravens are at home for the Bears. So
I just, it's one of those deals where you just all of a sudden you're rolling, you're the Ravens, and you get a clunker. Because they've been known to do that.
That going to happen this week?
I don't know.
I mean, that's an interesting game, right?
So interesting.
Yeah. Well, maybe the clunker comes this week.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't have to be a clunker.
No,
it could just be.
It
could just
be
a shootout. You know, like it could just be a game the Bengals win.
That's a clunker. Like you lose the game when
if they lose a home game to the Bengals, you got to call it. No, as good as the Bengals, the Bengals are better than they've been in a while.
Yeah,
but that's
but still
from the Ravens standpoint.
Yes, exactly.
Like that's a team they own. Anyway, we went off topic.
Jay Will,
we're good, Coach.
And Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, let's get to hot news or not news.
All right.
All right, and this is brought to us by Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Baker Mayfield told Fox that in addition to a labrum tear, he has a fracture in his left shoulder. Dan, hot news or not news?
Hot news. Boy, doesn't football sound like fun to play? Like, it's hot news. I mean, he can't, if it's that bad, he's telling Fox that he can't play until the fracture heals. Is that going to heal in 10 days? I mean, so look, they might be without him for more than last night's game. They showed last night that they can still win anyway, which is fine. But from Baker's standpoint, this is hot news. He's trying to prove that he deserves to be paid like an elite quarterback and treated like an elite quarterback. And if he can't prove that this year, then he's going to be out of luck. And if he can't play for a couple of weeks, that's going to cost him that chance.
No question about it. It's hot news. But what I would say, Dan, I echo everything you said. But what I don't like is that Baker Mayfield revealed exactly what the injury is on top of what the injury is, how long and how it feels and all that. You don't need to be doing that. Don't play informational doctor, Baker. Leave that up to your team to do those sort of things.
What's wrong with revealing information?
Yeah, I mean, I like honesty.
No. He doesn't
don't
need
give it. You notice how Belichick doesn't give anyone anything?
Any question, I would like to give an honest answer.
No,
I, mean, just,
I don't
you know,
need to. I don't need
what
to.
What would you say, Key? Let's hear it real quick. You know. What do you say?
What would I say?
Yeah. Uh-oh. You're at the podium. What do you say?
I'm continuing to rehab, and we'll see how it goes. I don't need to tell you everything about my injury, because now I'm building in an excuse as to why I may lose my damn job.
He's already not playing.
Here's what, you know, let me tell you, it's hot news. You know what's hotter news to me? When that team wins a game like last night, we could go either way, but you have a third string running back who picks up those extra yards. You have a quarterback who will run for the first down.
D'Ernest.
They played with character. Yeah, the Browns have character.
Tough team.
And Stefanski, I think if I had to point to one, I'd say Stefanski. You got something there.
Like
you really
Joe
got
Jones.
Something there. All right. Joe Judge blaming himself for the Giants 1-5 start. Fish stinks from the head down. I always say rots, but stinks will work. What do you say, Dan? Hot news or not news?
It's not news. I mean, if you're the head coach and you're not going to take blame when things are going poorly, then you shouldn't be the head coach. So this is what Joe Judge should be saying in a situation where his team is 1-5. And, you know, that's just, you know, you talk about the right thing to say publicly. Yeah,
that's the right thing to
that's
say.
That's the right thing to say publicly.
For the coach, that's the right thing to say. There's no question about it. It's not news. You're part of the problem, and maybe you'll be part of the solution at some point in time. I scratch my head, Dan. I just want to ask you this really, really quick. Why is it that Belichick's assistants can't seem to win? I don't care what it is. It just seems to not go. I don't understand it.
Right? I mean, like, it looked like Flores was set up for something. Now he's having a rotten year. Yeah, it's very strange.
So
I hate to say something here. I hate to say it, and I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth. Belichick can't seem to win either. Like, well, I was always the one. It's more Belichick than Brady. The fact of the matter is.
All right, move along.
That's not a Giants thing. I'm a Giants fan, and I wouldn't say that.
News, move ahead.
He has not been winning.
20-year sample size, 2-year sample size.
No, it's not a 20-year sample size without Brady.
Max,
he's
won 6 championships. You can't say anything about him.
Not without Brady.
Max Kellerman.
Patrick Mahomes has 4 games with multiple turnovers. Hot news or not news, Dan?
Hot news. This guy does not trust his offensive line. His feet are messed up in the pocket. When you talk to people who've scouted that team, played against that team, they tell you it just looks different. Even if it's this much different, that's enough, right? So some of the crazy stuff he was doing that used to work every time now works, 70% of the time, and the other 30 ends up being this. So, yeah, it's hot news. I'm watching this game very closely. If that defense can't slow down Derrick Henry, and I don't know how they can, we could be having another week of what's wrong with Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's entirely possible here.
See, not news to me. And the reason it's not news is because people looking at Kansas City as this 4 years ago as this team that was going to win like 8 championships in 3 years. They just, there was something magical going to happen all of a sudden. It's never happened in a National Football League before. But it is something that you was not expecting for him to turn the ball over at this rate. But at the same time, when he is doing what he's supposed to do, they win football games. And you say, Dan, slowing down Henry. You know how you slow him down? You make Tannehill beat you match point for point with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You get up on them early and take the ball away from Henry, much like the Arizona Cardinals did when they went into Tennessee and won that game.
Yeah, I'm going to say not news. It's not news when 30% of your turnovers are balls that were actually in people's hands that got tipped up that other people then caught. And I get what you're saying, Dan, about the footwork, and some throws have been bad. But for a guy that takes chances like that, you need those balls to be caught. You need them to be caught.
This is not news. You know who's second in the league in QBR right now? QBR, which factors in turnovers, Patrick Mahomes. Sure. Stafford's leading the league. Mahomes is second in QBR. He's leading the league in touchdowns. A couple times, sometimes you're going to throw a few interceptions. He may have 2 more interceptions the rest of this season. They may not lose again until December.
He might have more.
He might have 6 the rest of the season.
Their schedule
or maybe
is not,
none.
Their schedule is not a bunch of – this is not like looking ahead to Buffalo's schedule. Like they have some potholes, including this week.
Yes, they
in
do.
Tennessee, which just knocked around one of the best defenses in the whole league.
Wow.
And Patrick's defense is not that.
Great
I'll
point,
predict,
Dan. You
I'll go out on a limb predict
Titans,
the Chiefs
Packers,
are going to light them up.
Raiders, Cowboys, Raiders, Chargers.
Got to get up on them. And
see that schedule? I don't think Patrick Mahomes loses any of those games.
What?
I don't think he loses none of them.
You don't think he loses to the Cowboys
or
the Packers?
Nope. I don't think he loses to any of those games. I think they're going to go on a long winning streak.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to get it out of his system.
You've been saying that since week one.
No. I said they were going to be 3-3, and then he was going to go on a long winning streak. He has you right where he wants you. Trust me, everybody. Okay. Hot news or not news. 49ers pretty optimistic in Jimmy G's return ahead of the Colts.
I feel like it's not news because I feel like we already knew this. Like it was, Trey Lance is banged up. Garoppolo is supposed to start. They've always said Garoppolo will be the starter if he's healthy. Lance didn't show enough to really change that in the last game, and he's not healthy. So
yeah, not news.
Yeah,
not news.
Not news. Move on.
Oh,
I think it's hot news because if they have Jimmy G, they can compete. Without Jimmy G, they ain't going to compete. Not really. They got Jimmy G. They're live. So you want him back as soon as possible. That is the great Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL Insider. You can get more from Dan on Get Up at 8 a.m. We'll have much more with Dan on Deshaun Watson and the Dolphins at 7:30 Eastern.
He'll be joining
but
us.
But coming up, one stat about the Browns that proves Baker's actually the guy, even though he didn't play.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.